Good to see you. Another wonderful day the Lord has given to us. It's good to come together and just worship Him. If you're excited and expecting Him to be present, because that's His promise to us. We should never forget that. I'm having some voice problems this morning. We're going to get to it now. It's good to have my mom with us today. A little bit of trivia. She had her 92nd birthday yesterday.
Congratulations.
And it's Billy's birthday, too. They have the same birthday. But Billy's not 92, so. They are 30 years apart, though. How about that? So it was pretty easy to keep up with their birthdays. And anyway, I'm glad she's here with us today. And let's look at some announcements. You see, we have many that are regular listed. Ladies Auxiliary Quilt Project, that's on Mondays 9 to 12. This is to support our veterans. And on the 9th, Ladies Auxiliary Front Leisure, that's today, lunch after service today. Everyone is invited, and you know what everyone means.
Everyone,
that's right. Thursday the 13th, Bible study at 10 a.m. Friday the 14th, June the 14th at 6, Relay for Life at Safnor High School. Sunday the 16th is Father's Day. Tuesday the 18th at 6 p.m., the deacons will meet. And on Thursday the 20th at 10 o'clock a.m., meet at the Deep Run Baptist Church to pack the food bags. Johnny, do you have anything you want to say about that?
Well, I got Charles to give me a little head start on it, so we got a couple weeks to get it together. But I, as a citizen of the building, I thank everybody that's helped, and I thank everybody that's going to help. So if you want to participate in this one, it's a Thursday. It's on your calendar. It's a Thursday. It's at 10 o'clock. And if you've participated, you feel really good about helping out. So I hope if you can participate, let me know. Thank you.
Sunday, June the 23rd at 5:30 p.m., Vacation Bible School.
Can I say something about that?
Yes, go right ahead.
Okay, so Melissa wanted me to give some information. That is a Sunday evening at 5:30 that we're going to have our Bible school. And we would love for everybody to come. It's not just for you. We will have a lesson in the sanctuary, and music and food and games and fun. We have two water slides, and so we're wanting everyone to come out at 5:30 on June the 23rd for our Bible school.
Okay. June the 29th at 6 p.m., the Deep Run Independence Day Parade. That'd be right on us before we know it, won't it? July the 14th, official board meet at 5 p.m. This is for all members of any committee. And then on the 21st will be the business meeting at 5 p.m. You see about the new study that's beginning. There is a sign-up sheet in the educational building, which you can see Beverly or Melissa. If you got any questions, we'd like to sign up. And then any bookings for the facilities here, see Donna. You see that listed. Do we have any other announcements? All right, stand together with your bulletins. Our call to worship will be our responsive reading this morning. Then I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, thus says the Lord.
Send down the power of your Holy Spirit.
Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy.
Send down the revelation of your love.
Your old shall dream dreams, and your young shall see visions.
Send down your spirit, breathe life in your people.
In those days I will pour out my spirit among all people.
And we are the people of God.
Hallelujah, Father, we thank you that we are your people, and that's your word. We thank you for that. We thank you for Christ Jesus, who died on the cross to save us from our sins, to give us the right to be adopted into your great family. Today, as we worship, we pray you would rain down upon us the power and the life breath of the Holy Spirit as we worship. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Turn to 401. The church is one foundation. Sing verses 1, 2, and 4. Hymn 401.
Thank you.
may be seated. Mr. Brendan Gray will have our scripture reading this morning.
The Old Testament reading comes from Psalms 138. I give you thanks, O Lord, with all my heart. I will sing your praises before the gods. I bow before your holy temple as I worship. I praise your name for your unfailing love and faithfulness. For your promises are backed by all the honor of your name. As soon as I pray, you answer me. You encourage me by giving me strength. Every king in all the earth will thank you, Lord, for all of them will hear your words. Yes, they will sing about the Lord's ways, for the glory of the Lord is very great. Though the Lord is great, he cares for the humble, but he keeps his distance from the proud. Though I am surrounded by troubles, I will protect me from the anger of my enemies. You reach out your hand, and the power of your right hand saves me. The Lord will work out his plans for my life. For your faithful love, O Lord, endures forever. Don't abandon me, for you made me. The New Testament comes from Mark chapter 3, verse 20 through 35. One time Jesus entered a house, and the crowd began to gather again. Soon he and his disciples couldn't even find time to eat. When his family heard what was happening, they tried to take him away. He's out of his mind, they said. But the teachers of religious law who had arrived from Jerusalem said he's possessed by Satan, the prince of demons. That's where he gets the power to cast out demons. Jesus called them over and responded with an illustration. How can Satan cast out Satan, he asked. A kingdom divided by civil war will collapse. Similarly, a family splintered by feuding will fall apart. And if Satan is divided and fights against himself, how can he stand? He would never survive. Let me illustrate this further. Who is powerful enough to enter the house of a strong man and plunder his goods? Only someone even stronger. Someone who could tie him up and then plunder his house. I tell you the truth, all sin and blasphemy can be forgiven, but anyone who blasphemes the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. This is a sin with eternal consequences. He told them this because they were saying he's possessed by an evil spirit. Then Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him. They stood outside and sent word for him to come out and talk with them. There was a crowd sitting around Jesus, and someone said, "Your mother and brothers are outside asking for you." Jesus replied, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" Then he looked at those around him and said, "Look, these are my mothers and brothers. Anyone who does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Lived
Continue to worship as we pray. Are there any needs we need to remember this morning? Yes.
Remember Kirby Page. He's in palliative care now. He's died of cancer. And my daughter, Karen Page, has breast cancer. That's his goal.
We'll do that. Any others?
The family of Robert Earl Everett.
Family of Robert Earl Everett. Okay. Any
Alan
others?
Alan J. is having a scan
Thursday, 13th. Alan J. Okay. Any others?
Johnny and Valerie
Peniel. Johnny and Valerie
Peniel.
Peniel, okay. Any others?
Faye King.
Faye King, all right. Any others?
Pray for our country.
Amen. Also in the back of your bulletin, you'll see many needs back there as you're praying this week. Lift those up. Also, don't forget our prayer team. If you have a request, if you jot that down and get that to Pam. The team is praying diligently, and God is answering prayer, so don't forget that. Let's take time this morning to have prayer. Stand together, turn to 563. Open my eyes that I may see. Verses 1 and 3. 563. Thank you.
hearts from your goodness. You pour it out on us every day. And we come to you now to offer back a little bit, portion of what you give us to further your kingdom. Please accept it and bless it. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. For the doxology, please. Continuing our series, Good News for the Not So Good, we're still in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to get the latter part of chapter 3 today. 1 Corinthians 3, 18 through 23. Paul writing to the church at Corinth, he says, "Do not deceive yourselves. If any of you think you are wise by the standards of this age, you should become fools, so that you may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise are futile. So then, no more boasting about human leaders. All things are yours, whether Paul, Apollos, or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or the present or the future are all yours. And you are of Christ, and Christ is of God." Our thought today is wisdom, a head start. Getting a head start on wisdom. There's an iconic scene in the film Titanic. You may have heard of it. It's so iconic that I heard that cruise ships now have to keep a crew member stationed by the bow of the boat to make sure passengers don't fall overboard when they try to replicate this magic movie moment. You might remember that. You know, probably know what I'm talking about. It's the scene where Jack Dawson, actor Leonardo DiCaprio, stands on the front rail of the ship and declares to the winds and the waves, What did he say? I'm the king of the world. Yeah, I'm the king of the world. Of course, he's not actually the king of the world. He's a drifter and a gifter who doesn't have two nickels to rub together. One who couldn't even afford a ticket. But ultimately, he was able to scheme his way into a first-class party dinner. And it was all for nothing because he didn't even survive the voyage. Dawson was really not the king of the world, but for a moment, he felt that way. Maybe we can all relate. Anyone? We all have moments that may not qualify as king of the world moments, but you could say they qualify as I'm a little too impressed with myself moments. Paul has a way of keeping the main thing the main thing, and today he's not deviating from this course. He's been talking about this all too human tendency in the early chapters of Corinthians. There were those in the church at Corinth who were a little too impressed with themselves and a little too unimpressed with others. They saw themselves as having perhaps being more elite than they really were because they belonged to this group and not that group. And this attitude had caused a major division. It had caused quarrels among the fellowship there in Corinth. And Paul reminded them, he says, I cannot speak to you as spiritually mature believers. I have to speak to you as infants. You're still on milk. You're not ready for the meat of the word. So the implication in Paul's words were that they certainly thought they were ready for the meat of the word. They thought they were ready for the advanced teaching because they thought they were much further along than they actually were. They thought they were king of the world, or at least captain of the ship, but they really belonged to third class on the lower deck. So in chapter 3, Paul begins telling the church there, he says, if you want to move on to maturity, there are steps you have to take. You have to end the self-sabotage of being divisive and excluding others. And instead, you need to focus on the foundation of your life, which is Jesus Christ. You got to get serious about this idea that you and me and the rest of us together are God's temple. And he expects us to treat this relationship with care and utmost importance. And as he wraps up this thought, he's challenging us to get over ourselves and to get our heads on straight so we can focus on our attention that matters most, experiencing the fullness of God and his purpose in our lives. So in the last few verses of chapter 3, Paul tells us how to get a head start on a life of wisdom. We'll talk about three things quickly, and that gets us able to position ourselves so that we can grow abundantly in the wisdom of God. Because Paul reminds us the wisdom of this world is foolishness. Only true wisdom comes from God. So the first thing here we need to do is, number one, is we need to start telling ourselves the truth about everything. I'm not talking about your neighbor right now. I'm talking about ourselves. We need to start telling ourselves the truth about everything. There's a story about this guy, and I don't endorse what this guy does now, okay? Let's get that straight, all right? But it illustrates the point. I read a story about this guy had a car for sale, a 2003 Pontiac Grand Am. And he placed an ad in the local newspaper with a fair price and an accurate description. He didn't get not one single response. He just couldn't figure it out. So he got up with his buddy who was in the used car business, and he said, man, I got this car. I'm trying to sell it. I can't even get a hit on it. And his friend said, well, what exactly does your ad say? Man said, Pontiac for sale, clean, good condition, 378,000 miles. And he put the price on there. The friend said, well, that's your problem, man. He said, nobody wants to buy a car with 378,000 miles on it. Let me suggest, just move the odometer back and then try it again. So a couple of weeks later, his friend called him and asked him, did you take my advice, man? He said, yes, I did. Friend said, "You sold your car." He said, "Well, I decided not to sell it." The friend said, "Well, why did you change your mind?" He said, "Why would I sell a 20-year-old car with only 40,000 miles on it?" It reminds me of what Paul tells us in verse 18. He says, "Do not deceive yourselves." In other words, do not lie to yourself. This phrase in Greek can also be translated, "Stop deceiving yourselves." It's an interesting idea, isn't it? That we need to be told to guard against telling ourselves lies. Have you ever told yourself that? Anybody? We are aware of the lies that are sometimes told to us by, say, maybe politicians or corporations. You know, we're also aware of the fibs we tell from time to time in order to save face. And let's not forget about the untruths we tell ourselves on a regular basis. Like, you know, lies that kind of go from one extreme to the next. Like, "I'm as good as they get." Or, "I'm completely worthless." Or, "God is lucky to have me on his team." Or, "God wants nothing to do with me." Or, "I just can't change." Or, "I really don't need to change." The truth is, the biggest lies you will ever tell are the lies you tell to yourself. This is why it's so important that we build our lives on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ. This is why it's so important that we spend every day in his word so that we can know the truth and know who we are and know who he is. And in doing so, we will not be inclined to say, "I'm king of the world." Neither will we be inclined to say, "God could never love me," or "God could never use me to build his great kingdom." Instead, we'll understand the truth. Yes, I'm a sinner. And yes, I have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And yes, I feel God's presence and I know God's presence in my life daily. And God is working on me and working in my life and using me to be a building block in his great kingdom. We need to stop telling ourselves these lies that stand in our way of becoming just like Jesus. Instead, we must build our lives on the foundation of Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. Because everything that we do is about finding Jesus and helping others find and follow Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen?
Amen.
So in order to start telling yourself the truth, we need to take this second thing in consideration. Number two is, we must make it our aim to be teachable. I've been involved in working on equipment for right many years, and I tell these young guys that come in, I said, the most important thing in your life is not what kind of toolbox you buy, or you know what your skills or your abilities are. The most important thing in your life is that you learn every day. Because if you don't learn every day, you will become irrelevant. And it's the same way in our spiritual lives. God is at work and he's all out among us and he has a lot to do in getting his kingdom like he wants it. And we have to be able to become a lifelong student of God's word and who he is. And what Paul is saying here, in effect, is he says you're limiting yourself by your own ego from the opportunity to grow spiritually. It's not just self-deception that stands in our way. It's our conceit and our arrogance and our pride. And, you know, a lot of times we're just pure lazy and don't want to learn anything. And when we're like this, we place devastating limits on our life. And when we say to ourselves, you know, "I really know all I need to know about this subject." Or even worse, "I know all there is to know about this particular topic. The issue is further aggravated due to the fact that many times we tell ourselves that we know more than we actually know. Some of us actually think, and I'm not going to call names this morning, some of us actually think that if we'd been one making the calls, we would have gotten our favorite team to the Super Bowl, or the Final Four, or the World Series. Some of us think, even though we haven't been to medical school, we can diagnose ourselves. With a little help from Google, of course. And you know, we do this with politics and religion and relationships and business. We think we can know something without ever having been taught something. Listen to what Paul says in verse 18. Any of you who think you're wise by the standards of this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise. So what is he talking about? What does he mean when he says we should become fools? It means that we must be willing to become humble enough to learn something new. In his commentary on Corinthians, William Barclay quotes Marcus Fabius Quintilianus. He was a first century Roman philosopher. And this is what he said about some of his students. They would have doubtless become excellent scholars if they had not been so fully persuaded of their own scholarship. And he quotes an ancient proverb. He who knows not and knows not that he knows not is a fool. Avoid him. He who knows not and knows that he knows not is a wise man. Teach him. What Paul is implying is that if everything you know about living this life is based on the wisdom of this world around us, then you're in trouble. The world might be patting you on the back, telling you you're going in the right direction, but you could be going, and probably are, the absolute wrong direction. I like the way the message reads. It says, don't fool yourselves. Don't think that you can be wise merely by being relevant. Be God's fool. That's the path to true wisdom. What the world calls smart, God calls stupid. And this applies to us today as well. We must abandon the world's idea of wisdom. Go back to square one. Sign up to become lifelong students. And learn the fundamentals of God's word that's presented to us. We must be willing to be lifelong students of God. And here's the third step. Once and for all, put away the pedestal. You know what a pedestal is? What is it?
Stand on
it. And when you stand on it, what happens to those around you? You look down on them, don't you? So which pedestal am I talking about this morning? I think the pedestal we try to stand on sometimes and the pedestal upon which we place others. In verse 21, Paul says, so then no more boasting about human leaders. The King James says it this way, therefore let no man glory in men. You remember when Paul first addressed the church in chapter 1, there were some saying, well, I follow Paul. And then some said, well, I follow Apollos. And then some said, well, I don't follow either one of them. I follow Cephas. And this is the contradictory nature of human condition. Even while thinking we know all there is to know, we also want to elevate others to a status that they don't deserve. We want to elevate them as leaders so we can identify as belonging to their group, the always right group. This way we can justify the exclusion of others as the always wrong group. This happens in church with certain leaders. It happens with politicians. Our country is severely divided today because there's a group that says we're going to follow this man, and another group says, well, this is the man we're going to follow. We see it with authors and self-help teachers, even celebrities. And the truth is, when we find our identity in the personality of someone else, we take the first step towards losing ourselves. And we take a step towards losing our connection to others, the people that God sends to us. And the most important thing is we lose connection with Jesus Christ. The message of the third chapter of 1 Corinthians is that we are all on the same level as one another. This is why the Apostle Paul reminds us in Galatians 3:28, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, nor slave nor free, nor male or female, for you are all one in Jesus Christ. And I know that's not popular today, but that's the good news for the not so good. Paul is saying, in effect, if you're going to find your identity in anyone, make sure you find your identity in Jesus Christ alone. To make it clear, this doesn't mean that we don't respect others or listen to their teaching or seek to learn from them or even take correction from them. But it does mean that we put away the pedestals. Listen, learn without making someone a celebrity, because only Jesus Christ is worthy of our worship and praise. Amen?
Amen.
So in conclusion of this chapter, Paul's final words here put this in perspective. He says something that kind of takes us by surprise in verse 21. He says, all things are yours. You know what all means?
All.
That's a lot of stuff. You know that? Some translation says, all things belong to you. All things are yours. Verse 22, whether Paul, Apollos, Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or the present, or the future, all are yours. And you are of Christ, and Christ is of God. So what is Paul saying here? He said, all things are yours, and in a certain sense, they are all here as a gift. They're here as a blessing from God Himself. They're here to serve you. The teaching of Paul, the teaching of Apollos and of Cephas, he says they're yours, and you can learn. We saw this in verses 5 through 9. He's saying that these teachers serve the church not to create an attitude to cause quarrels and divisions among the fellowship. God has placed them there to bless you and to serve you in your journey toward becoming a more faithful follower of Jesus Christ. Paul takes it a step even further. It doesn't apply merely to the teachings of others. He applies it to everything. The world, death, life, the present, the future. These all belong to you. They all exist to serve you in some way in your journey toward discovering a meaningful Christ-centered life. What he's saying here is similar to what he says in the book of Romans, Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to His purpose. God takes the events of your life and makes them to work for your good and for His glory, so that He can accomplish His purpose in your life, that you will become just like Jesus. And this is necessary. This must take place, because everything we do is about finding Jesus and helping others find and follow Him as well. All things belong to you, not because you're king of the world, because we all really belong on the lower deck. But today I can say all things belong to you because you belong to Christ. And Christ belongs to God. And God is all in all. Do you want to make a huge head start into a life powered by the wisdom of God? Do you want to make a huge head start into a life powered by the wisdom of God? Well, if you do, build the foundation of your life each and every day on a relationship with Jesus Christ. Become a lifelong student of His Word. Spend time in His Word. It is there that you will uncover what true wisdom is. Glory in His presence. Because in His Word, when we bask there in His Word, He is there present with us. It is there we'll discover His assignment for our life. And then we're able to walk with Him in obedience and experience the fullness of God's purpose, His purpose, and His power in our lives. That is where God's wisdom is found. That is how we get a head start on the wisdom of God. Father, we thank You for Your Word today, and we just listen to let it sink in. Paul reminds us that everything that is of God. And so in anything that comes our way, there's always a blessing from the Lord, no matter sometimes how painful it may be. We always learn something about the goodness and the mercy of our Lord. Strengthen us this day and help us to experience Your fullness each and every day that we live. In Christ's name, amen. Turn to hymn 597. Take my life and let it be. And we'll sing the marked verses 1, 5, and 6. Stand together. Again, it's good to see all of you today. Thanks for coming, bringing the spirit of worship. Carry that spirit of worship out there in the world and just pour it on somebody. How about that? And anybody have anything to say before we leave? All right, we've got a fabulous meal over there, and you're all invited to stay with us and eat. So let's bow our heads and we'll dismiss and have the blessing. Father, Your goodness and Your love for us is hard sometimes to fully understand because it's much greater than we are. But as we feel Your presence here today and we worship You, we glean an understanding of just how much You love us. Thank You for all these people You've sent our way together as we worship together. Thank You, Father, that we're able to pray together for those who have needs. And thank You for allowing us to serve together, to meet those needs. A great meal has been provided. You have blessed us with abundance. And as we eat, help us to eat with humble hearts, recognizing that all the good and the great things in life truly come from You, our Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.